2 Timothy chapter number 3 as we stand to our feet tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 1, Paul, of course, writing to Timothy, we've discussed recently the relationship between these two. And he writes and says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His kingdom, at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love, and we thank You for this time that we have to look into Your Word. And these next few moments we have together, Lord, I pray would be blessed and anointed by Thee. Help me, Lord, as I stand to preach with power and with unction. Lord, I pray that we would hear from You, and Lord, then we would respond in a way that's pleasing to You. Lord, I pray tonight we'd learn greater things about Thee and Thy Word, and we'd take this responsibility we have seriously of bearing the Word of God to the world. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes tonight on the Christian and the Word of God. The Christian and the Word of God. Just as an introduction tonight, we look at these first few verses in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we find, as we refer to many times in preaching and studies, that in the last days, when perilous times comes, there's description of things that will be taking place. And we see these descriptions evident in the world today. And there's no doubt that we're watching things happen before our very eyes over the last couple of decades that absolutely amaze us. And we always are saying, well, it can't get much worse. It can't get much worse. But it seems like these conditions continue to get worse and worse and worse. But the Bible's clear about this. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, I want you to understand, you're going to have to take your stand. And he said, these are descriptions of things that are going to be going on in the last days. But you've known me. You've known my stand for the truth. So you don't have to pull away from me, Timothy. You don't have to deny me. You've known my doctrine. You've known my life. You've known the things about me. I have given the truth, and I've given the truth from God. But there are many that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Those are the ones you turn away from. And then he goes into this little excerpt about the Word of God. And I think it's so very important. And I want us to look tonight. I want us to tune in on verses 14, 15, 16, 17, and then the first couple of three verses there in chapter number 4. And tonight, when we think about the Christian and the Word of God, the Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So when it comes to the Christian and the Scriptures, the first thing that we must understand is we are to know the Scriptures. We're to know the Bible. As Christians tonight, we are responsible for gaining a knowledge of the Word of God. There are so many things that are going on in our world, in our society today, and we ought to be able to take people to the Bible and say, this is what is wrong with this, or this is what is right with this. This is why this should not be a part of your life, and this is why this should be a part of your life. You remember when the Sadducees came to the Lord Jesus and they were talking to him and said there was a man had a wife and the man died but they didn't have any children and she married the brother. This fellow had, there were seven boys in the family and she married the second brother and then he died and then said, then they married the third one and he died. I'm telling you what, she's rough on a man, you know? Bad news. Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't one of those brothers. You're right? So anyway, all of them died. And then they said, in the resurrection, this was the Sadducees talking, in the resurrection, their argument was not about, it was not about the problem of who she was going to be married to in heaven. And he cleared that up. But their question was they were trying to question the resurrection. Because they did not believe in the resurrection, right? So we understand that. And what did he say to them? He said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. These were very religious people. They were filled with religion. But they didn't know the Bible. And they did not know what the Word of God had to say. And the very hope that we have is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hope. If we cannot give people, as Peter says, an answer for the hope that is within us, then we're not much better than these Sadducees. I don't believe they were saved. But we've got to be able to learn and give an answer to people. How do we do that? We must know the Scriptures. Are you reading the Bible every day and not just reading it to say you've read it? Are you reading it to know what God is saying? I mean, it's not just that we go and check off that we've read so many chapters today. It's, do we know what God's saying to us? Paul's writing to Timothy and he said, I want you to understand things are going to get pretty rough. Things are going to get pretty difficult. Perilous times are headed to you. Here he was, this preacher, this young preacher. Young according to Paul. And he would be a little bit older according to us now. When he's writing 1 Timothy, we believe that Timothy was in his 30s and he was supposed to be young in the Lord. And then 2 Timothy was a few years even after that. You know, once you reach 42, you're ancient. According to my children, you're old. You know, they never fail to remind me, Daddy, you're getting older. You're old, Dad. Right? My daughter will one day have to be leading me around, you know. But Timothy needed to understand some things. And he said, things are going to get tough. But here's how you're going to make it. You're going to continue in the things that you know. You're going to continue in the Word of God. I see Christians just all up in the air about things. But I know what my Bible says. Do I like everything that's going on in our country and in our world? I haven't liked it for years. We've watched things happen. We've watched things unfold before our very eyes where immorality is legalized, where ungodliness is now acceptable, where things are happening that just are anti-biblical, anti-Christ. So what do? Well, we have to know what the Bible says. We have to know what the Bible says about salvation. I can tell anybody, you know, regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of how bad it may get, regardless of how perilous the times may be, I know whom I have believed in. I'm persuaded He is able. He's going to take care of me. He started me on this journey. He's going to finish me on this journey. Because I know what the Bible says about salvation. From a child, the Bible says that thou hast learned from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So you must know what the Bible says about salvation. That way you can tell people what the hope is that's in you. You can tell people, I know it's going to be all right. They can take everything I have away from me. They can take my house. They can take my land. They can take my car. This terrible. They can take my children, but my children are safe in the Lord Jesus. I'm safe in the Lord Jesus. My wife is safe in the Lord Jesus. And they may take us apart from each other. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in this world, but I know He's still on the throne. We have to know what the Bible has to say. I think the worst thing in the world is for a Christian to seem so desperate. Paul said that we can be perplexed, but not in despair. I'm perplexed. But I'm not in despair. Because God promised He'd take care of me, and I have to trust that. I have to believe that. I have to know that. We have to know what the Scripture has to say about this. Know what the Scripture has to say about doctrine, about reproof, about correction, about instruction in righteousness. Know what the Bible has to say. Know the Word of God. The Christian and the Scripture. The Christian and the Word of God. First thing is we must know what the Bible has to say. Secondly, we must believe what the Bible has to say. I know a lot of people that know a lot about the Bible. I know a lot of people that can quote Scripture, but they don't believe it. The Bible says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. We have to believe what the Bible says. That'll give us authority to say what we have to say to this world. When I can stand up and say, this is what the Bible says, I have great authority. Great authority. And it's not my authority, it's the authority of the Bible. The sad thing is there's people that are wavering on the Scriptures. Christians. They say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I mean, is that what it really means? The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. We got to quit confusing the matter. We need to believe what thus saith the Lord. The Sadducees were busy always trying to confuse the Scriptures, trying to take them out of context. The Pharisees did the same thing, tried to bring legalism in, adding works to salvation. You know, you can't do this and be saved. You can't do that and be saved. You can't go here and be saved. You can't go there and be saved. There may be things you shouldn't do, and there may be places you shouldn't go, but you don't go there in order to be saved. You refuse to go there because you are saved. But that's not what saves you or keeps you from being saved. You want to know what saves you? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what keeps you from being saved? Not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty simple. That's Scripture. That's what the Bible says. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on me is condemned already. Shall not see life. We have to believe what the Bible has to say. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about salvation. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about doctrine. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about reproof. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about correction. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about instruction. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about everything. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about morality. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about church attendance. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about political systems. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about monetary systems. We have to believe what the Bible has to say about everything. But there are Christians that try to learn, but then they don't believe. I remember reading the story of a lawyer. He was studying the law, a young man that was studying law in early America, one of those that was around the time of our founding fathers, and he had all these great books of the law. And when he was reading them, he began to see that these men that were writing about the law and the laws that were made, many of them came from the Scriptures. And so he was not a believer in Christ. But he said, I'm seeing so many references to this Bible that I must at least study it. And so he put the Bible on the bottom and he put all his law books on top, and every now and then he would refer to it. And the more he would study his law books, the more he would see they would refer to the Bible. And then before long, he began to read the Bible. And he began to see that the laws of this great land came from the very Scriptures of the Word of God. And that Bible began to move up. And then all of a sudden, that Bible was on top of all the law books. And he began to realize that all these books proceeded from the truth of the Scriptures. And he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made statements like, any law that does not line up with the Bible is a law that a nation does not need. And I agree with him. This nation is a great nation, not because of our founding fathers, but because of God the Father. This nation has been great because there were times when we put our faith in the Lord. But now we begin to see what's happened. Ever since World War II, and even during World War II, we begin to see our nation decline the Lord God. Then we, had to start being correct in so many things. We have to believe what the Bible has to say. God's Word overrides man's law. I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. I believe that. I believe what the disciples said when they said we ought to obey God rather than men. And buddy, when we believe what the Bible has to say, we're going to stand on what the Bible has to say. The thing is you've got to know what the Bible says. Then you've got to believe what the Bible says. Know the Scripture. Believe the Scripture. Know the Word. Believe the Word. And then thirdly, preach the Word. Preach the Word. It's a sad thing. We know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says about salvation. I know what the Bible says about sin. I believe what the Bible says about sin. I believe what the Bible says about salvation. But I think I'll keep it to myself. But Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. By the way, every one of us are to be preachers of the Word. This isn't talking about somebody getting behind a pulpit and preaching. It's talking about us taking the Word of God out into a world that needs to hear the truth of God's Word and telling them. That's what this word preaching means, to tell the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. There's going to be times when it's easy to do it. There's going to be times, look, when people around you are moral people, it's easy to stand and to preach the Word. But there's going to be times when there's not going to be anybody around you that's going to agree with you. That's out of season. We cannot stop telling the truth. We have a responsibility to what we know and what we believe to be true. And when we stand before the Lord, we will be judged by the Word of God and what we've done with the Word. Christ is the Word, by the way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh, John 1:14 says, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the Word of God. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Word of God needs to be preached. I'm sick of hearing people that call themselves preachers and they stand up and they give little sermonettes. You've heard the saying, haven't you? Sermonettes for Christianettes. Riding around in Corvettes, sucking on cigarettes. I'd never say something like that. I can't believe other people would say it. Shame on them. We need this Word. As Paul writes to Timothy, he says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, we could go down this list in verse 2 through verse 4, and we could see the day we're living in. Men lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You tell me one thing in there that does not describe the day that we're living in. Does, don't it? We have a right to everything mentality. It's all about me anymore. All about me. It's what I deserve. If I got what I deserve tonight, I would be in hell. I don't deserve anything. And God says, by the sweat of thy face is how we'll earn our way. But we're living in a society that says, give me everything, but I don't want to do anything. We're living in a society that's a lover of pleasure more than lover of God. We're living in a society that says we have these things that ought to be freely ours, but other people's paid for it, you know. But there's only one thing like that. That's salvation. Christ paid for it, and it's free to anybody. And we see all these things happening. We see all these things taking place. We see people that are not willing to give. They're so selfish, and they try to get more and more and more. We see all kinds of things happening around us. We see lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You want to know why at ball stadiums all around the nation today there was 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people in those ball stadiums, and you come to a church, good fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches all around, and there's empty seats and empty pews everywhere? Why? Well, a lot of them is because there's a lot of Christians that are at the ballpark. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible teaches us. We have to know what the Bible says. Know what the Bible says about the day we're living in. Know what the Bible says about the situations that are around us. Believe what the Bible says concerning these things, and then preach what the Bible says. We have got to have this backbone about us with compassion to do these things. And I know it's not easy, because the time has come in many places and in many ways when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, it's going to bring people in. It's going to tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. He said, preach the Word. There's a time for teaching, but there's a time for preaching. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching will get the job done. Preaching will make people mad. It'll also help people to get right. Preaching. You think a woman can't preach, then you've never heard my wife deal with her children. She's a good preacher. And she preaches truth. And she tells it just the way it is. And she don't back down. There's times she's fussed at them, and I've said, yes, ma'am. You know, I thought, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm scared. She gets your attention. Does anybody have an extra room? You ever say one of those things you just wonder why in the world you just said that? This is one of those times in my life. I feel my face getting red. My heart's about to beat out of my chest. I'm going to preach for 3 more hours. And hopefully she'll be so tired when we go home. She'll be ready to go to bed. But do you understand what I'm saying? Look, you're saying, I'm looking out at these people tonight, at this congregation of people, and what I see is a bunch of people that claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I have to believe that. And none of your testimonies, none of your lives would indicate otherwise that I personally know. I believe you're saved according to your testimony and according to what I know about your life. I believe the majority of you have no doubt. Some I know better than others. And there's not one person here that I would say, I don't think you're saved. Not one. Not one. But we, you and I, that are believers, have the responsibility to know the Scripture, to believe the Scripture, and to preach the Scripture. I know this is like simple stuff. It's like something, you know, simple preaching 101. Nothing tonight that's really profound. I don't preach many profound messages. And usually if I preach something that you've never heard before, you better check up on it. It's probably not something I ought to be preaching. But tonight, I just wanted to say something simple to us. Because we're living in those perilous times. And we're living in those days. Paul said, there's some people you need to turn away from. In other words, there are certain churches I won't go to, and there are certain preachers I will not listen to. You hear what I'm saying? Why? Because they may have a form of godliness. I mean, they may speak things. They may even open the Bible. And there's a form of godliness anytime the Scripture is read, but there's no power. From such, turn away. Paul says, but you know me. You know me, Timothy. You know my doctrine, my manner of life. You know who I am. And you know what I have taught you. Continue in those things. Know the Word. Believe the Word. And preach the Word. Now, what Paul writes to Timothy is for us to know the Word, to believe the Word, and to preach the Word. We have that responsibility. We must know what the Bible says, and then we must believe what the Bible says, and then we must preach what the Bible says. Because we're living in a day where nobody has a clue, except for those of us that know Christ as Savior. We're the only ones that can make a difference. We're the only ones that can reach this world. You think the bartender's going to do it? You think the streetwalker is going to do it? No. You think the psychologists are going to do it? The doctors? There's not many Christian doctors. Thank God for those that are. There's not many Christian lawyers, but thank God for those that are. There's not many Christians in business places. There are some now, don't take me wrong. But God wants to use us. If you're here and you have a business, you know, God wants to use you. If you work for somebody, God wants to use you. If you're in school, God wants to use you. But you have to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. How do you do it? Know it, believe it, preach it. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. I know this was just a simple sermon, but hopefully it's effective in our life to see the day that we're living in, the time that we're living in. When people misunderstand our responsibility as Christians, and then when people that are out in the world that do not know Christ are looking for answers, we've got to show them what the Bible has to say. And the Holy Spirit has to do the work. We don't force anybody to be saved. We can't do that. We don't coerce anybody to come to our church. We don't do these things. But we have to know what we believe, and we have to be ready to tell others about these things and to preach these things and to give it to others and at least give them an opportunity. We don't twist anybody's arm. Never have, and we never will. But we can say, this is what the Lord's done for us. This is what the Bible has to say. This is why I do this, or this is why I don't do this. We have to know these things. Believe Him, and then do something with them. Lord Jesus, help us tonight just to be faithful and to realize our accountability to these matters. Lord, I pray that You'd take something so simple, and I pray that You would endear it to our hearts so very much that we would be doing with our life exactly what You would have us to be doing as far as the knowing, the believing, and the preaching. Help us, Lord, to tell others what You have to say and to speak with that authority. For the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands.